Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here, as always, on this Lord's Day morning. I always consider it a real treat to come and to be with you and to share God's word. Sort of a little bit discouraged that the new guy's coming, but I have to just stop up to say hi. But I will be praying for him. Trust me, I will be praying for him. I remember those days, those lovely days being examined by the presbytery. Over the years, I've never been one of those guys that is asking the tough questions. I'm usually praying for the poor guy at that time. And if I ask anything, I serve up a softball, you know, just to make him feel better. But I will be praying for him as he prepares for that important meeting. I guess I should begin by telling you all Happy New Year. We certainly hope that this is going to be a Happy New Year, right? I feel like every year we say that with the best intentions, and the new year is really not any better than the last one. You know, we're still looking for something more. In some ways, I feel like I should just tell people, "Hell, you know, I hope you have a horrible, no good, very bad year," and then you all come back and just say, "This year was great," you know. Happy New Year! It's a wonderful time to have a new beginning and to seek the Lord in it. This happens to be the year where Christmas and New Year's land on a Sunday. I mean, they always land on the same day of the year, but this is the year that it lands on a Sunday. And I never was a big fan of that when I was regularly preaching, because you have to do the Christmas Eve service and then get up the next morning to do the Sunday morning service. And then it's just a really busy time of the year. And so oftentimes people don't necessarily like it having Christmas on a Sunday. But it seems to be, in my opinion, a most appropriate day of the year, right? Or most appropriate time for us to come before the Lord and worship him, to come and worship him on the day that he was born, and then also to worship him on the first day of the year, on the first day of the week, to worship the person who is of first importance, right? Now, you don't have to worry. This doesn't happen very often. The last time it happened was in 2016, and I looked it up to see when the next time it would happen, and it won't be till the year 2033. All right. So it won't land on a Sunday again. But we come before the Lord to hear from his word. And I thought that it would be a good time to talk about resolutions. I mean, typically for a new year, we make a bunch of New Year's resolutions, right? We say to ourselves, okay, well, this year I'm going to lose weight, or this year I'm going to start working out more and get in better shape. Others will say, well, no, I'm going to spend more time with my family, or guys will say, this year I'm going to try to listen more carefully to my wife, and the wife will say, well, this year I'm going to make a New Year's resolution to be kinder to my husband, not be as critical when he doesn't do something that I would prefer that he would do. And we make all of these New Year's resolutions, and the year starts off pretty good. We're doing pretty well, but by February it's starting to slack. By March, you know, we've just given up, you know, and we get off pace. So there's other people who will make New Year's resolutions and not live up to them. And then there's others who just say, no, I'm not going to make any New Year's resolutions. That way I don't have to feel disappointed when I don't fulfill it. And I've been sort of one of those people. Just forget it. I mean, I won't make any New Year's resolutions, but, you know, during the year I'll say, okay, I want to do things and I'll work on them, but I don't have to feel bad if I made some pledge at the beginning of the year. Well, scripture does not call us specifically to make New Year's resolutions. You're not going to find a scripture verse on that. where God says at the beginning of each year, set down some promises of things that you're going to seek to achieve in this given year. But the Bible, I think, over and over again calls us to make resolutions. It calls us to resolve ourselves to do those things that are right. It calls us to resolve ourselves to follow God and not to follow false gods. It calls us to flee from ungodliness and resolve ourselves to pursue righteousness. It calls us to refrain from doing those things which God calls us not to do and resolving ourselves to follow his word as he has said. And examples of this we see are in such passages in the Old Testament as Joshua 24, 14 and 15, where the prophet there says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we are resolved to serve the Lord." Right? So you see that where the message is before us, God doesn't call us specifically to make New Year's resolutions, but he calls us to be resolved to do those things that are right and that will honor God. We also see this in the New Testament in 2 Peter 1:10, where it tells us, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fail." Right? So we are to resolve ourselves to work out our salvation, to be devoted to seeing it develop in our lives. We also see it in another verse in our passage, 2 Peter 1:5, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." Right? So scripture calls us to be resolved in seeking to follow the Lord and develop in the path of godliness and righteousness. But how do we do that? You know, how do we commit ourselves and resolve ourselves to follow the Lord and do his will and not just be a failure? How do we prevent ourselves from being another New Year's resolution failure or casualty in this gospel walk that we have? Well, I have three short things here for us this morning. The first thing is for my tablet to do what I want it to do here. First thing is to understand that God has granted us every resource for success. The great thing about serving the Lord is that he's just not left us to fend for ourselves, right? He has given us every resource for godliness. And we see that in verse 3, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he granted to us his precious and very great promises. God has given us divine power for all things that pertain to life and godliness, right? This is not something that we have to manufacture on our own. We don't have to go out and purchase it, right, so that we can use it to develop, but rather it is our possession and we have easy access to it. It is a divine resource that we have. New Year's resolutions, right, often rely on our own discipline or inner fortitude. We may join forces with other people. We might partner up with somebody to say, okay, we're going to go running, you know, 3 or 4 times a week together. We might do those kind of things. Oftentimes we're relying on our own inner strength and perseverance to accomplish it. But when it comes to resolving ourselves to follow the Lord in righteousness and godliness, he's given us resources to do that. He's given us a divine power through his Holy Spirit that we might grow in that knowledge. The second thing is that he's granted us knowledge. He's given us divine knowledge of God who has called us to his own glory and excellence, right? So we are those who are infused not only with power, but with understanding, right? Through his Spirit that is guiding us in him, in our hearts, that we might learn and grow in him. And he also grants us divine promises that are precious and plenteous. Do a cursory look of all of the promises that are in Scripture, and you cannot have a bad year. If you look at all those things that are there that God promises us, how can we ever feel like this is a bad year? Just a look at some of them. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Right? So a lot of times in life you feel alone. A lot of times you feel like it's all up to me to get this done. But when it comes to your sanctification, people of God, you are not alone. For God is with you every step of the way. Or Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purposes. We might feel, Pastor, I have a little bit of question about that. You know, it doesn't always feel like things are working out for good, but they are. In God, in Christ, things are working for good because God is in you and engaging in that practice of working things out for good for you. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Or in the passage that was read for the scripture reading, which is just from one of my absolute favorite passages of scripture, Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So there, God's acknowledging that at any time during the given year, you're going to have troubles. At times in the given year, you're going to go through deep waters. At times, you're going to feel like you got burned. But scripture teaches us that God is with us and upholding us and strengthening us through that process. Or Philippians 4:19, and may my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory. I always like to say, when it comes to our God, he is not cheap, right? God doesn't have to work on a budget, right? Because he has all resources and he bestows them to us with great riches, all from his glorious storehouse in heaven. So the first thing in seeking to live this life of resolve for God, to resolve ourselves to live for him, is to trust in the promise that God has granted us every resource to have a success. The second thing is that in this life, to be successful in living for the Lord and following him in righteousness and godliness is to always focus on the goal and the prize. But you reflect on all that awaits us in heaven. When you think of that glorious day when we will be with him, when we will worship him in the splendor of his holiness. Just think about that. When we worship him in the splendor of his holiness, when we are in that perfect state where there is no longer conflict, there's no longer pain, there's no longer suffering, there's no death, there's no depression, there's no small crowd. Rather, we are before the Lord in glory. What a wonderful day that will be. 2 Peter 1:4 says that through them, you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of our sinful desires, right? That is the goal, is that we would escape from the corruption of this world. Now, here he also speaks of us, how says we will become partakers of the divine nature. Doesn't mean that we're going to become gods, or that we are absorbed into deity, or that we become divine. But what it does mean is that we reclaim that original righteousness that was supposed to be ours, right? As the Westminster Confession teaches in chapter 4, verse 2, on the topic of creation, it says, after God has made all other creatures, he created man, male and female, with reasonable and immortal souls, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness after his image, right? So that was the stamp that was on Adam and Eve in the garden, that they would be blessed with knowledge and righteousness and true holiness. And obviously those things have faded with the coming of sin into the world. But as we follow the Lord, those images are being restored in us, right? It's growing in us. I know for some of you that I pastored here 20 years ago, I have seen it in your life, right? I can testify to the growth that I have seen between then and now. And that is the glory that is ours. We are like a reclamation project. When I was a kid, one of my favorite shows was This Old House. That was back when Bob Vila was there, right? And I always just enjoyed watching this process of taking this old house and renovating it back to its original, or just renovating into something that still had that sense of old, but also was new. And that's what's happening with you. God is slowly rebuilding you and refashioning you to the glory that you were meant to be. And people of God, your soul is so much more precious and of so much more value, and is going to be an even greater recreation than anything they did on this old house, right? You are going to be made new in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness. So if we are going to seek to persevere in the Lord and resolve to follow the Lord, we must focus on the goal and the prize of that glory. And the practice of faith comes with full directions. 2 Peter 1:5 says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. So there, Peter sort of lists out the topics that we need to resolve ourselves for or toward. But, and then scripture also gives us the knowledge of how to do that. How is it that we can live for the Lord in a way that is faithful to him? It certainly takes practice, right? No one grows in the Lord very much if they're not going to seek to practice to live for him, right? The Lord's not going to just do it all for us, right? He calls us to participate in that work. And as we do it, we can see growth and development. I also play the guitar. I play it more just for fun at home. I wouldn't play in front of other people. I've done it several times, but I don't typically do it. But I started it when I was in seminary, and did it for several years, played for youth group and that type of thing. And then I just sort of laid off it for like 16 years. And finally, my wife told me about a friend of ours who went to our church when I was in seminary, who was living in North Carolina, but is teaching people guitar via Zoom. And so I started meeting with him just to try to help me become a little bit better, right? And what was neat about him is that I sort of let him take me on the journey that he wanted to sort of help me, rather than me saying, okay, you teach me this, right? And so he's more of a classical guitarist. So he spent a lot of time teaching me things related to music theory. Right? And it really opened up to me, you know, how unique the guitar is and how it works and how the different notes on the fret, you know, all the frets work to be able to produce the sounds that we want. And as I allowed him to take me on that journey, as I practiced what he was teaching me, it became more exciting and more interesting and helps me to feel a greater satisfaction in the process. And I'd say the same thing is with the Lord. As we allow him to take us on this journey of faith, as we seek to follow him the ways he calls us to, as we practice God's word, and as we practice godliness, as we study his word, we come to find greater satisfaction in this walk in the Lord. So lastly, the last thing to help us so that we don't just become another resolution casualty is to recognize that our failures and missteps are always met with grace and mercy. They're always met with grace and mercy. God is always there to pick us up again and enable us to live for him. I know here in verse 10, it seems to lay down something sort of harsh where it says, therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, we will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or the other verse there, where it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Certainly a qualifier of that is that when it comes to working out our salvation, it's not up to us, right? It's not that God just leaves us alone. He's not like my math teacher in high school who would say, start doing the work, and if you have any questions, let me know, right? I didn't like that. I needed somebody to help me because I was terrible in math. I don't know about, I know some of you are like probably really, really good in it, but I was not. And so I really needed somebody to sort of work through some problems with me. Thankfully, the Lord is that one who works through the problems with you. He doesn't say, well, go over into your pew over there and work on your godliness. Let me know if you have any questions. No. That's not our Lord. He is one who is with us. And so he's not telling us to work out our own salvation by ourselves, but he is calling us to be diligent and to realize how important it is. When he says to work out with fear and trembling, is to recognize that the resolutions that you make to follow the Lord are the most important resolutions you're ever going to make. You know, whether you lose weight, well, okay, you're going to look a little bit better, I guess. It's going to probably be healthier for you. If you resolve yourself to say, well, this year I'm going to finish some projects that I've been leaving undone at the house. Well, yeah, it'd be good if you can finish those. But is that really going to have any internal significance? No. No, they're good things, and you should strive to do them. But your resolve to follow the Lord is of most importance and should be the first thing that you desire above all of the things. And so, yes, we should seek to follow the Lord in diligence and knowing and to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but also to work out that salvation with a settled confidence that the Lord is not only with us, but he is enabling us to be who he wants us to be. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship." We are his poema, is the Greek word there in Ephesians. We are his creation, his craft, as he is creating us in Jesus, Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, right? So there is this resolve that we are to have to join in this journey with the Lord, but he is with us, enabling us and empowering us for gospel living, giving us the constant promise that even when we fail, even when we screw up, even when we trip, that he is there to show us his mercy and to show us his grace. We don't have to feel bad about those times when we fail. Rather, we just need to, again, follow the Lord, ask for his forgiveness, and knowing that this coach, this teacher, is going to be with us. I told you that the next time that it happens where Christmas and New Year's is on a Sunday is not until 2033. And how that happens, I can't all explain. I mean, certainly it has to do with leap years. And so it's going to be a number of years before it happens again. But as Christians, we want to leap into the new year with a conviction and with a settled confidence that in the Lord we can grow. I think each year we probably should look back and say, okay, Lord, how is it that I have grown this year in you, right? And to reflect on that and to ask the Lord to point out those things for you that are the things that you need to consider this year. How is it that you can grow more in him? Thankfully, again, we're not alone. We're not called to make New Year's resolutions, but we are called to be resolved to follow the Lord. And if we do, in him, we will have success for his glory and for our growth in grace. Let's pray. Oh, Lord and Father, we thank you for this blessed morning. We thank you for your spirit that is with us. We thank you for your kindness toward us and all that you grant us in Christ. Oh Lord, may we be strengthened in you to be your people. Grant us your knowledge and your power, for we pray this in your name. Amen.
Please join me in a hymn of response. We're going to be singing Isaiah 43. This can be found in your CPC songbook. Please rise.